You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recent findings from six countries, including New Zealand, of over 6.5 million cardiovascular disease hospitalizations show a correlation between hospitalizations and the aftermath following a tropical cyclone. The research looked into the hospitalizations of six different cardiovascular diseases and showed that hospitalizations increased 2 months following a tropical cyclone and continued for 6 months after. I spoke to Professor George Laking from Te Akamatauranga Mate Pukupu Centre for Cancer Research at the University of Auckland about this study and a similar study he helped conduct following Cyclone Gabriel, Te Wiu Me Te Wai. Here is that interview. Regarding these findings, how serious are these findings?
This is a large international study that's looked at data from big populations over several years, and so that means it's quite persuasive in terms of the inferences it can make about what happens with cardiovascular events following cyclones.
This is quite a unique space to be researching. What is the inspiration behind the study?
It's been widely recognised within the medical community for going on two decades that climate change is the number one threat to human health in the 21st century. However, it has really been an uphill battle to get that message across to our governments and policymakers, and we see that playing out with the denial of the climate crisis that happens around the Western world, and that's really down to the influence of the oil industry.
And how would you recommend that politicians and governments and policymakers go about addressing these concerns when developing cyclone responses?
Well, if they have an interest in the well-being of the people, which I have to say, looking at decisions taken by many of our governments recently, seems to be at least questionable. But if they do have an interest in the well-being of the people, then they will do everything in their power to try to decarbonise economies and change the lifestyles of people to adapt and adjust to what is already going to happen with climate change. And so that means we need to have more healthy lifestyles in general, more physical activity and more plant-based diets.
Linking back to the study itself, what are we seeing specifically here in Aotearoa?
Well, that was interesting because I was involved in some work in that area myself, and that was in the east coast of the North Island following Cyclone Gabriel. We weren't able to pick up such a signal there. However, the population we're working with was substantially smaller than what's in this study, I think a couple of orders of magnitude, and the time interval also that we had to work with was shorter than in this study. In general, for the study, the findings from New Zealand fit in to the findings from the rest of the world, but just because our population is smaller, there's always a bit more statistical uncertainty in that type of study for New Zealand. Interestingly, there did seem to be a signal coming through at the north end of the South Island for increased cardiovascular events after cyclones. The connection really is not too hard to figure out what it would be. Simply the stress and disruption brought about by cyclone events isn't good for people's circulatory health in the longer term.
As you mentioned, your research followed on from Cyclone Gabriel in 2023 and looked at the populations of Tairawhiti and the Hawke's Bay. Would there be a difference in how different parts of the country react? Are these findings similar across the country?
So there are differences in the experiences, and that kind of relates to differences in the landscape and the way events play out depending where you are. For example, in Hawke's Bay, their catastrophe was more based on a very large flooding event, a small amount of very large flooding event, whereas in the East Coast, they had multiple flooding events, but maybe not quite as big as the Esk Valley event. So that's a response of geography. That's a feature of geography. But ultimately, the amount of stress and disruption that these put on to people all comes out in the realm of health, ultimately.
With the climate crisis creating stronger and more frequent cyclones and weather events as a whole, do you expect that the number of cardiovascular hospitalisations will increase?
Well, that depends if there's still going to be hospitals, isn't it? And that seems to be seriously in question with the way the current government's going. But yeah, if there's hospitals to take them, there'll be more pressure on the hospitals because of these types of events, yes.
And we've been discussing cardiovascular hospitalizations, which is what your study and this study we're talking about addresses. But how do cyclones and weather events impact other parts of an individual's health, such as their mental health, for example?
Yeah, mental health is really big. And more than anything, I think mental health is what came out in our work. And the thing is, people think that the weather event is over, but it casts a long shadow in the area of mental health. And for example, every time it rains for quite a while after a cyclone and flooding, a lot of people find that very stressful, and you know, they use the term rain anxiety about that. But then there's other types of health effects that you could expect. It's certainly contamination, pollution of water supply, of soils, respiratory effects from dusts in the air. So I think the thing about human health is it picks up pretty much everything that's going on, and it gives you an indicator of how well you're doing with your society and with your environment. And we're not doing very well at the present, so we've got to expect that human health is going to suffer from that.
And this study and your previous study, yet again, looks at tropical cyclones, but do you expect we would see similar results for other climate-related natural disasters, such as with droughts and wildfires?
Well, in the sense that they're adverse for health, that's absolutely sure. Yeah, I've got to say, there is one angle which is quite interesting, which is the New Zealand events featured very heavy rainfall, but not so much in the realm of destructive high winds, at least in the East Coast where we were. And I did wonder about it with some of those events at more equatorial zones where they had destructive high winds, and those can be much more immediately lethal compared to if you just get the flooding, but not to underestimate the health harm of any cyclone events and the health harm of flooding, that's for sure.
And we've briefly touched on this previously, but what needs to change to mitigate these correlations between cardiovascular hospitalizations and mental health outcomes following tropical cyclones and just weather events as a whole?
Well, you know, we could all be living much more healthy lives, and that relates to diet, physical activity, how we connect to each other as people, how our communities work. That was really the big finding of our study on the East Coast, which was called Te Wera Me Te Wai, the health effects of adverse weather, was how well people got through the cyclone really depended on how well they were connected as communities going into the cyclone. And I think there's a pretty strong expectation that how well you get through these things is a big factor in what happens with health in the longer term. I think there's a issue with our political systems at the moment which have failed to take us on a path that's going to decarbonise our economies in a meaningful way. They've absolutely failed that over the last 20, 30 plus years. And a lot of that has got to do with the untoward influence on our political system of powerful businesses, and especially the fossil fuel industry. They're to blame, really.
That was Te Akama Tauranga Ma Te Pukupu Centre for Cancer Research's Professor George Laking on a recent study showing an increase of cardiovascular disease hospitalizations 6 months on from a tropical cyclone.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.